Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Rybakov said Russia had given the U.S. and NATO two draft treaties. There was no other option, he said, as the state of relations between Russia and the collective West is a total lack of trust. In the proposal, Russia sets out a series of radical demands, that's the quote from the article here, which require countries that join NATO after the fall of the Soviet Union not to deploy troops or weapons in...
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
All right. Well, that was Stay Home from Anna Monoguchi. It is 1905 UTC here on a very bright, dangerously bright. I'm heading to the fourth floor right now. Super bright, very hot, ozone action day, low quality air day. But you know what? Sometimes you just gotta go outside and get to the roof, or as close to the roof as you can, because it's a news day and it's news time. That's right, it's 1905 UTC, which means that we're in here, you're here just in time for News to Me, a show that airs Monday through Friday at 1900 to 1930 UTC. There appears to be some lawn maintenance going on, which is unusual, because during ozone action days, you're discouraged from operating small motors like two-stroke engines like you'd have on a dirt bike or a lawnmower or other lawn equipment. The sky is has a nice haze to it. It's not brown haze, but you know, it'll get that way soon, I'm sure. Not in my lifetime it'll get that way anyway. All right. Well, enough of that. Sorry, I'm holding on. I got those. It's so loud here. It's so loud everywhere. I come to the office on Mondays and Fridays, and it's pretty quiet inside, but Jesus Christ, outside, this is so loud. It's one of the things that's frustrating about modern life, is escaping the sound, if possible. At least in the big city. Alright, I'm gonna launch Tom. I'm on a downward swing. I don't know. My emotions are kind of crazy. So I go through ups and downs. So I'm pretty down today. So I'm trying to power through. We're powering through. But anyway, just as a hello, we're going to talk about death and destruction, and then we're going to get on with the world. It is enough about me, I guess. It's not a Marcus show. It's the news show. If you want to talk during the show, all you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org and then launch com. That's C-O-M. You press enter and then you type G for go to. And then Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word. That will take you to the Anon Radio room. Ta-da! And then you'll be all set and you'll get to hang out with cool people like F-Fog and Ratsu and Stug. Along with, WX is here. Hey, what do you know? And Quentin and LCD. So yeah, lots of cool people. Lots of people having fun. Thanks, LCD. Yeah, it's frustrating. It's one of those things, but it's all right. I signed up for an online counselor. We'll see how that goes. Do the first meeting at the end of the month. Oh man. Anyway, sorry. I'm all over. We're powering through. We're powering through. All right, so let's pull up the news. There's a lot of death and destruction to talk about. Or at least plenty of sad stuff to talk about that I want to be sure we get through because there's just so much of it. So you over to Bookmarks Menu News to me, June 12th, which is today. It is 34 degrees right now. It's going to be 36 later today. It's supposed to be 36 or 37 or more all week as far as the high goes. So it will be a challenge. So let's start with the big numbers. At least 40 people were killed in an IDP camp attack in DR Congo's Ituri. More than 40 people have been killed in an attack. Jesus Christ. I can't hear myself. It's talking out loud right here. Can you guys hear me? If you can hear me, I'll keep going, but I can't hear myself at all. I'll keep on talking. Okay, thanks, Quentin. Yeah, it's a cacophony of noises here. The sound cancellation on my microphone and on the phone must be doing wonders, because it's, oh man, I want to shove a knife in this guy's mouth. All right. Okay, well, let's keep on going then. Let's get through it. More than 40 people have been killed in an attack on a camp for internally displaced persons in Northeastern Democratic Republic of the Congo. Richard Deda, an official of the local administration for Bahima, Bajir, and Jugu territory in the DRC's Ituri province, said the attack on Lala camp earlier on Monday was carried out by fighters belonging to a coalition of militia groups called the Cooperative for the Development of the Congo. CODECO claims to protect the Lindu community from another ethnic group, the Hema, as well as the DRC's army. Deda was quoted as saying by the AFP news agency that at least 41 people were killed in the attack. It's about 5 kilometers from Buhl, the site of the United Nations peacekeeping base. Maki Lombi, a witness, also told the Reuters news agency he had seen more than 40 bodies lying on the ground. He survived by fleeing during the night. So it's a pretty sad attack there. This is from Al Jazeera, but they do still happen to have a map. I'm not sure if this map will be a problem or not whenever I try and paste it, but I'll send it over anyway. We'll see what happens. What the fuck is this doing? Sorry, I'm fighting with my comm now. Alright, there we go. You go to sdf.org/l/WZ. That's Whiskey Zulu. sdf.org/Lima/Whiskey Zulu. You go there, you'll see the map, or at least as close to the map as I can get for you. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, 40 people dead in an attack there. Children of the Bush. Now this is a cool story, and this is actually good news. You may remember I had this story last week, or a couple weeks ago maybe, but these children survived. Essentially, the only thing they had in mind was to eat, said Henry Guerrero, member of the rescue group, regarding the first words uttered by the 4 children missing for 40 days in the Colombian jungle when they were found. After wandering home alone for more than a month, the Huitoto indigenous children, aged 13, 9, 5, and 1, were rescued and airlifted out of the Amazon on Friday, and were recovering 2 days later in a military hospital in Bogota. So, just as an update kind of a thing, they thought they'd found the kids, then they couldn't find the kids when they actually got people on the ground there. Turned out that the kids were children of an indigenous couple, and they were on their way to indigenous encampments. When the plane crashed, the kids survived by taking, the mom was injured but told the kids to get away from the plane and to survive. The oldest, the 13-year-old, took a bag of flour from the plane, and they ate the flour, just dry flour, water from rain and dew in the morning, and then wild fruits that they found, because the daughter, the oldest, had been taught what fruits were good to eat. So really wild, pretty cool stuff. I don't know, I think it could be a movie or something one day. It's pretty cool. So yeah, anyway, it's pretty neat. All right, so that's not death or destruction, but it was an update. So let's talk about something that's more of a fear or horror, body horror maybe. Campaigners and members of parliament have reacted with outrage to a woman being sentenced to more than 2 years in prison for procuring drugs to induce an abortion after the legal limit. The mother of three received the medication under the Pills by Post scheme, which was introduced during the COVID pandemic for unwanted pregnancies up to 10 weeks. Prosecutors said the woman had knowingly misled the British Pregnancy Advisory Service by saying she was below the 10-week cutoff when she would believe she was about 28 weeks pregnant. Doctors later concluded the fetus was 32 to 34 weeks gestation, which is about 7 or 8 months at the time of termination. In England, Scotland, and Wales, abortion is generally legal up to 24 weeks, but is carried out in a hospital or clinic after 10 weeks. The woman, 44, pleaded guilty in March under the Offenses Against the Person Act that dated back to 1861 and will serve half of her 28-month sentence in custody and the remaining under license. Originally, she'd pleaded not guilty. The judge in the case said the woman felt very deep and genuine remorse and was racked with guilt and plagued by nightmares. Justice Pepperall said the case concerns one woman's tragic and unlawful decision to obtain a late-term abortion. In my judgment, your culpability was high because you knew full well you were beyond the limit of 24 weeks and you deliberately lied to gain access to those services. I accept that you feel deep and genuine remorse, you're racked by guilt and have suffered depression. He added that if the woman had pleaded guilty at the earliest opportunity, the custodial sentence could have been suspended. It's just one of those things where it's like, we're living in the worst timeline, and this is just, I don't know, this is absolutely horrific that this is something that happens in this day and age. That was a blue Harley guy passing, but also a fucking 18-wheeler loaded down with timber. I don't know where he's going, but he's driving down our little residential street with a big load of wood. So anyway, I've got the angry sads now, and it makes me mad that I'm mad about things. But hey, you know what? Acknowledge the feeling and let it go. That's what you're supposed to do when you get these strong emotions. I'm going to lose it one day. The judge said there were no sentencing guidelines for the offense, but the maximum sentence was life imprisonment. I'm just trying to see if there's anything else. People are upset about it. The conviction serves no one, not her, not her children, not the public interest. All it does is punish a woman for seeking health care in the middle of a pandemic. The Labour MP, Stella Creasy, said it's a hangover from another era that our abortion laws are based not on health care, but first and foremost criminal sanctions. In her sentencing remarks, the judge made reference to Sarah Catt, who in 2012 was originally sentenced to 8 years imprisonment after aborting her baby within a week of a due date, although her sentence was reduced to 3.5 years on appeal. So, that's what's going on there. the truck arrived. The truck has arrived. They pulled in right, all right. So it's kind of, that's a bit distressing. It's one of those things that it's, well, it will never personally be my problem. It is, it's one of those things where it's like philosophically, the idea of the state doing having any level of control over what anybody does to themselves really bugs me. Unless it's something like, hey, you know what? If you're a baby, there should be rules to not allow you to eat lead, you know, or something like that. Anyway. There's more death and destruction. Over in Pakistan, a huge hurricane is on its way to kill people. It's called a cyclone or a typhoon over there, though. The Sindh government on Monday announced evacuations across the province as the Pakistan Meteorological Department said Biparjoy, now classified as an extremely severe cyclonic storm, was making its way across the Arabian Sea towards the coastlines of Pakistan and India. So this is on the west coast of India over there towards Pakistan. And that's something that I think, as an American, I always get my geography wrong. I always think of Pakistan as north of India, but it's also it's a neighbor to its north west. So it's over there. It's got a coastline. An emergency had been declared, and the army drafted in to help relocate more than 80,000 people at risk. They say heavy rain and thunderstorms and squally winds likely are expected from the 13th through the 17th. And cloud bursts or big thunderstorms are expected in Karachi. Adani ports suspend vessel operations. It's India's biggest commercial port of Mundra. So if you have any family or friends that are in or near Pakistan or near India on that west coast side there, good luck. It's looking pretty rough right now, at least so far with what we know. Three men killed, three injured in a mass shooting at a Maryland home. Three people were killed and three others injured in a shooting in a private residence on Sunday in Annapolis, Maryland. Police responded to calls of a shooting around 8 p.m. on Sunday in the 1,000 block of Paddington Place, where they found six people with gunshot wounds. Three of the victims were deceased on the scene. Police haven't revealed their identities, but said they were all males with ages ranging from early 20s to about 50. Mr. Jackson said there was an exchange. I don't know who Mr. Jackson is. That's the police chief. Police chief said there was an exchange of gunfire at the home, and all three victims died outside. The other victims were taken to shock trauma units and are in stable condition. So far, police have not determined an exact motive, but they have a male person of interest in custody and say the shooting was not random. So, that's the information we have, but it is three dead, three injured. And you know what? Three and three is six, and six is more than four, which is the limit, or is the threshold for mass shooting versus just a big shooting. Uganda's president has COVID, so he's on leave. The article kind of made it sound like it was more of an inconvenience than anything. Riddle me this, Colin. I've got mixed feelings here. At work, we have between the parking garage and the buildings where we work, there's a brick walkway, and it's still technically a road, but there's bollards in the way, lately, all these big trucks, like anything, all the box trucks are big enough to get through, but they're often full and heavily loaded. So I'm curious if brick roadways, pathways, are they as durable? Like, is it just a matter of the bricks breaking under the weight? Or do they get worn down faster? I don't know. I'm curious. If you guys know, let me know. All right. Speaking of things collapsing, the reason I was thinking about it was because US I-95 in the United States, one of the busiest bridges in the United States, collapsed. Not really a huge surprise, because in the United States, fewer than half, about 44% of highway bridges in the U.S. are considered good condition. That's not excellent condition. That's not acceptable condition. Just good. Just like we don't think it's going to fall down yet. Anyway, what happened? Well, a portion of one of the busiest motorways in the U.S. will take months to repair after it collapsed. Part of I-95 caved in Philadelphia on Sunday after a lorry full of petrol caught fire under the highway. A section of the road, and this road, I-95, is a north and south interstate, and it goes from Maine all the way to Florida. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro is to declare a state of emergency to expedite funds for repairs. Of course, funds for repairs almost always end up finding their way somewhere else, somebody's pocketbook, maybe somebody's house or car. Nobody cares about infrastructure, and it sucks. I don't know. I think we should cut the feet off of the people who do these kind of things and make them just crawl wherever they want to go. Anyway, a section of the road, Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro is to declare a state of emergency to expedite funds for repairs. The governor said restoring the highway will take some number of months. The highway investigators are working to determine the exact cause of the collapse. No injuries or deaths were reported. And yeah, the United States infrastructure is in terrible state. Not likely to get any better. Speaking of misappropriation of funds and getting me riled up, Republican official appears to have moved $1.3 million from a nonprofit to their own law firm. The San Francisco lawyer, Harmeet Dhillon, is a fixture on Fox News who's garnered support from the likes of Matt Gaetz, noted pedophile, Tucker Carlson, and Laura Ingraham. She also helms a nonprofit that appears to have directed more than $1 million into her own law firm. Dhillon most recently made headlines when she signed on to represent Carlson in a gender discrimination lawsuit. He and Fox News faced from a former producer, Abby Grossberg. She also acted as an attorney for Donald Trump and former Project Veritas head James O'Keefe, who in 2021 sued Twitter for banning him. Last November, Dhillon was able to mount a serious challenge to Ronna McDaniel for chair of the RNC. Archive snapshots of her campaign official website touted endorsements from people such as Gaetz and conservative media such as Carlson, Ingraham, and Jack Posobiec. There's claims that she moved money around that she wasn't supposed to. We'll see where that goes or if we get any more news about that. We got about 5 minutes to go. Let's jump into comm and check on things. Thanks, Quentin. Depend on what's under the bricks. If built properly, brick roads will last longer than pavement. Oh, okay. Then I won't be so worried. I was getting grumpy about it because I was like, man, it sure does stink that they keep driving over this brick walkway. I don't know. I guess it'll be fine. I also don't like getting almost run over when I exit the garage, but that's another problem. Oh, cool. All right, thanks, X1 and Quentin. I appreciate y'all's road surface knowledge. Mortimer, that's true. A truck full of gasoline burning under a bridge, it's probably not necessarily a poorly maintained bridge. When less than half your bridges in the country are maintained, it kind of is like, I don't believe you if you say, oh, no, it was in great shape. All right, so let's keep on going. There's more death and destruction, and we've only got about 4 minutes to go. So we're going to talk about specifically destruction of hard drives. This is a story I saw on a couple of sites. Now, the NIST, the NISC, the security one, has a rule that says, like, if you had a disk drive that had sensitive data on it, like government data, the drive has to be destroyed. You can't just, like, format it and then give it to somebody else. The size of the number, the volume, is really surprising, if you'll forgive the pun. Millions of storage devices are shredded each year, even though they could be reused. They could just erase the data and sell them, but the providers, the people who have the drives and are destroying them, they said the customers wouldn't let them do that. One provider said they were shredding 5 million drives for a single customer. Storage devices are typically sold with a 5-year warranty, and large data centers retire them when the warranty expires. Drives that store less sensitive data are spared, but they estimate that 90% of hard drives are destroyed after they're removed. Cloud service providers said that it was because of security, but what they actually meant was risk management. They have a zero-risk policy. It can't be 1 in a million drives, or 1 in 10 million drives, or 1 in 100 million drives. It has to be zero. The irony is that shredding devices is relatively risky today because a 1 3-millimeter piece of a hard drive is big enough to hold a piece of a file, or a recoverable amount of a file. The IEEE Standards Association approved standards for sanitizing storage, saying that, you know, you could erase the drive, you could encrypt the drive with random data, or you could destroy the drive. Alas, for the sensitive data that these data centers are handling, they'd much rather just say there's no chance, we shred it all. But it's just so much, it's such big drives, it's just amazing. All right, let's go to the last thing here. We're running out of time. Oh man, so many different things I wanted to tell you about. HotSat 1 is a satellite that they're launching to map the heat of buildings in the UK to see whether or not insulation programs are working or not. They're also the Sweden football players at the Women's World Cup were required to show their genitals to judges to prove that they were women, which is disgusting. And we got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe coming up at 1930 UTC. It happens every goddamn day right here on Anon Radio. I wish there was more time, but yeah. Please enjoy that. I'll try and regulate these emotions and be back with the regular news tomorrow. Bye-bye.